The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is now back in session. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to continue with Senate Bills 10 and 25, and I believe the senator from the 15th has the floor.
Senator from Newton, would you like to tell us what order on the calendar we are, which I believe is Senate Bills for Perfection?
Senate Bills for Perfection, Mr. President.
Without objection?
Informal calendar.
Okay. Without objection, we will go to Senate Bills for Perfection, and that would be Senate Bills 10 and 25, the senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bills 10 and 25 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, having previously voted on the prevailing side, I move the vote by which the Senate committee substitute was adopted be reconsidered.
The senator from the 15th has stated a privilege motion, which is a motion to reconsider. He was on the prevailing side. Discussion. Does any senator desire to be heard? There is no discussion on that. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Pearls, Dempsey, Dixon,
aye.
Emery,
aye.
Holzman,
here.
Justice,
aye.
Kevney, Kehoe,
aye.
Kraus, Lager, Lamping,
aye.
Lavoda,
aye.
Leibla,
aye.
McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed,
aye.
Nieves, Parson,
aye.
Pierce,
aye.
Richard,
aye.
Romine,
aye.
Roop, Sater,
aye.
Schaff,
aye.
Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Sifton,
aye.
Sylvie,
aye.
Wallingford,
aye.
Walsh,
aye.
Wasson.
Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 8th.
Aye.
Senator from Jefferson.
Aye.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from Polk. By your vote of 31 aye, 1 no, your motion to reconsider has passed. Senator from the 15th. The motion before the body now is the motion to adopt the substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. The motion that currently is before the body, as you just mentioned, is to adopt the Senate committee substitute, which we had previously done. However, the senator from Nottoway and I have had a chance to visit. Admittedly, it's sort of an unusual thing to back up and do that, but you know, in the spirit of trying to work through some of these issues, especially early on here in session, you know, we've had a chance to discuss his thoughts, and in fact, I think a few of those are good additions to this bill. There may be one issue that we don't necessarily see eye to eye on, and I think amendments may be offered to that effect. So with that, Mr. President, as we're back on the Senate committee substitute, would be happy to answer any questions.
The senator from the 15th moves adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I don't know if this is much as a question is, I'd want to acknowledge, appreciate that you doing this reconsideration motion. You know, the senator from Andrew had expressed to myself and I think a few others on the floor that he did have an interest in offering an amendment. That's why when I was on the dais, I've waited to close expecting someone to get up to allow time for the senator from Andrew to get to the floor, but he was unable to do so. So it's early in session, there's time, and so I want to thank you for working with really all the members of the Senate, and specifically the senator from Andrew.
Sure, thanks.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 14th would like an inquiry. Do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, I know yesterday we were talking about the rule changes, and I indicated here on the floor that there were a couple of questions that I had in terms of those rules, but I didn't get up because I just wanted the process to go. I think everything was said that needed to be said on the floor, but it's interesting that we're now at this point where I do have to ask the question that I had yesterday. And I remember when we were dealing with redistricting, and the senator from the 2nd was handling that bill, and former Senator Stouffer came into the chamber late, and the bill was closed on, and he had an opportunity, the senator from the 2nd, to hold off. There was a pause that the senator had from the 2nd, and he looked over at Senator Stouffer, and he just decided to keep that bill closed, not reconsider. It was a big deal to Senator Stouffer because he felt as though his side had not been shared before the body, and he was pretty upset about that. I could see it in his face, and you know, I don't know what y'all talked about in caucus or not, but it was a pretty big deal on his end. How often are we going to reconsider bills?
Well, I wasn't. It's within any senator's right to make that motion if they were on the prevailing side.
I know that.
In this instance, the senator from Andrew met with the senator from the 15th, and the senator from 15th decided to make that motion. So I hope we don't do it again, but we have done it in the past. I think we may have even done this reconsideration motion on a bill last year.
Just so you know, I did go to the senator from the 15th's office earlier today, and I said the gesture that he is making right now is a very kind gesture. Even though I disagree with what is in this bill, it's a kind gesture.
You're right. That's why I wanted to.
He doesn't have to do it, but here's what my concern is that we all have that opportunity if we come in. You know, you can't play ball if you're not at bat. And, you know, if we're outside, I just hope that, you know, other senators would allow the minority to be able to have their amendments tacked on and a bill to be reconsidered. I just, if we're caring about an issue, we should be here in this body.
I mean, that's why I think it's good, you know, if you have an issue, you know, raise it with a member sitting next to you. Say, hey, listen, I've got to step off the floor for a second. I've got a constituent or someone I need to meet with. Would you do me a favor? I'd like to speak on the bill, or I have an amendment that would that I'd like to offer. Would you, you know, please make sure that they don't close prior to my getting that opportunity? And, you know, I can't read minds, nor can anyone else up there. And, you know, the Senate moves as fast as the slowest senator. You know, and if, you know, if someone's over here and their desk is over there and you want to be recognized, we don't close like the House does. You know, you just acknowledge, say, Mr. President, and then you would walk to your desk. You know, and I think the interest isn't that, what is it, free and fair debate?
But you do agree this is very rare. And
right, we don't do it.
Doesn't happen.
Certainly,
it is an exception.
Outside of the one time we did it last year, I don't think we did any reconsideration, and I think we actually backed up even further on that. I can't remember
like
the bill,
levels,
but
yeah.
It happens. It happens seldom, but it is within our rights to do that.
It certainly is. It's just what I can't get off my mind is the face of Senator Stover when we were dealing with redistricting. And whatever his issue was, I don't even know what it was. And he did not have that opportunity to have his position heard. And that's one of your members. It's not one of mine. But, you know, I just remember that. That's a question that I had for yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it came up with this situation, so I just had to ask. I mean, I just want to make sure we're going to be fair on both sides when something like this occurs.
Free and fair discussion will ever be found the firmest friend to truth.
I look at it every day. And I also look at all the things that are in the rotunda, too. Those are some pretty nice sayings as well. I just wanted to have this opportunity to talk about this.
Sure.
It is very rare. I just hope that we are going to be fair. Our rules, I believe, are fair. I've said that before. And I certainly believe that the senator from the 15th is being very kind. He does not have to do this at all. But if something like this occurs for something that one of us are very passionate about on the minority side, I hope that other senators will give us that same opportunity. Thank you so much for engaging me. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator from Mercer, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It's been distributed. I'd request a waiver of the reading. This amendment ends in .09S.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment makes two changes. The first change that it makes is it says that in order to qualify for the credit, that whatever the competition that we're recruiting would have had to have been competitively bid amongst more than one state. And the reason for that is this. What I did not want to have occur is I did not want to have, for example, Misha, who every year hosts the Missouri State basketball tournaments, right? Well, if they, under the current wording of the bill, if they would go to competitive bid amongst communities in Missouri, then in theory, they could qualify for reimbursement under the tax credit. The goal of this credit is not to entice just the activity that's already occurring in Missouri. It's to entice outside activity to come into Missouri. These regional competitions, potentially maybe someday an NCAA tournament, those types of things. So thus, competitively bid for more than one state. The second component of this, which is the bottom part of the bill, it changes from the word for to the word to, and that's how long that we are going to actually, this credit trails. Part of the liability challenges that we have in our state right now when it comes to tax credits is there's never a point in many of the programs where the credit actually drops off the books, meaning there's a finite window by which you can use the credit in. Because of that, we really don't know at any given point what credits we actually have outstanding. There are credits from 10, 15 years ago that may have been issued that have never been redeemed. And because of that, and because there's nothing on the books that ever brings that to a finite end in many of the programs, not all of the programs, that financial liability tail, for lack of better term, is always there. I wanted to tighten that window. So what by changing from the word for to the word to, what it essentially says is that they have two fiscal years following the year the credit was issued. So if a credit would be issued this year, they would have this year, next year, and the year after. Essentially 3 years to redeem the credit. I believe both of these changes make the bill better and actually ensure that what we are trying to incentivize actually happens. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew the motion for the adoption of this amendment.
The senator from Holt moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
To speak in favor of the amendment.
Senator, what's the purpose again?
Speak in favor of the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think these two changes are consistent with the intent of the bill. The intent had always been for this to be a to add to our ability to compete as these events are being competitively bid across the country. That additional language with regard to requiring more than one state is fine with me. I think it makes sense, and the carry forward provision, which is the second piece of this from 4-2, is fine. And so I would encourage the body to support the amendment.
Does any senator desire to be any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 and 25. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send it forward.
This amendment has not been distributed. It is short and can be read. I'll wait for the reading and then I'll move for the adoption.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Lager. Amendment. Amend Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill Number 10 and 25, page 4, section 67.3000, line 125, by striking the word 3 and inserting in lieu thereof the word, quote, 2, end quote.
President.
Senator from Andrew, would you care to explain your amendment?
I would. I'll move for the adoption of the amendment. What this does is this takes, there's two credits that are in this bill. The first credit has a $10 million cap. The second credit has a $3 million cap. This takes the credit that is a $3 million cap and moves it down to $2 million. The $10 million credit is a credit that essentially costs the state nothing because the credit is pre-purchased. The entities put up the money for the credit, then it's issued and redeemed against. So the state as a whole never actually spends a dollar. The second credit, which is the competitive credit, is currently capped at $3 million. Now, I believe that $2 million will actually be more than enough, and here's why. The grand hoopah of recruiting sporting activities to our state would be an NCAA tournament, to host the NCAA. If that happens, we estimate that approximately somewhere around 200,000 tickets could potentially be sold. So 200,000 tickets would be approximately the high water mark. 200,000 tickets times $5 a ticket, which is how it works under this proposal, is $1 million. So we can recruit the biggest, greatest sporting event to our state for $1 million. So even if that happened, we would still have an additional $1 million to issue in credits in any given fiscal year. I believe those two together will probably always catch everything that we need. However, as I articulated last night, I would again articulate today. I am a believer that you set caps as strong and reasonable as possible. If those caps are met, those who need more cap space have the ability to come to us and articulate why they need more. The senator from the 15th and I have talked about this. I respect, although disagree with his position, that he wants $3 million. I believe that $2 million will easily get us. If we are fortunate enough to have a time where the $2 million cap is being hit, that means we've had a tremendous inflow of this activity in our state, and this legislative body has the ability to increase that cap. So this is my same consistent argument that I had last night. It's for the same reason. I believe that as this credit gets started, $2 million is ample. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the First, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from Nottoway.
Senator from Andrew, yield. He does proceed.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand your argument for why we need to lower this. It's your belief that we simply don't need $3 million because the largest event this could possibly bring in your estimation, would bring in $1 million, leaving plenty left over for other things that year, and so therefore we don't need to go to $3 million. Is that your...
First of all, my belief is that we will not spend more than $2 million in the first several years of this program. If we do, then great. That means we have brought a tremendous number of economic activity, to the state.
But if we do, then not great, because if we lower it to $2 million and we're in a situation where we fall somewhere between 2 and 3 with this amendment, the credit won't be sufficient to cover the competitive expense. We fall short, don't we?
Well, we don't know that.
We miss out on opportunities.
We don't know
that. Or do I not understand?
Okay, well, under that philosophy, Senator, we should set no caps on anything and spend until we're drunk, which, by the way, we've already hit that point, thus we have the financial problems we have. My point is we have to have a reallocation of the way we view these things.
But I think you made my point for me. If under that rationale, $3 million, if the concern is we're just not going to hit the cap, you really could strike 3 and insert 50 or whatever you would want, and in your worldview it wouldn't make any difference because we're not going to come anywhere close to that. So what's the problem with leaving it at 3?
But the
if
problem,
you don't think we're going to hit it,
the problem is one of what I believe is fiscal restraint, which is I agree that whether it's $3 million or $2 million, in all reality, in the first several years, we're not going to hit it. I'm not debating that, Senator. What I'm debating is that if the program starts to utilize the credit, I believe it is always in general policy, good government for those who are receiving the credit to come and articulate what has occurred and why they need additional cap space. This is no different than the way that we dealt with quality jobs. When the senator from the 32nd passed the quality jobs program back in the mid-2000s, they started with a very low cap. And every year, every 2 or 3 years, they would come back and they would actually tell us, here's what we have in the pipeline, here's what we believe the economic opportunities are, and we need the ability to increase that cap. And you know what happened, Senator? Every year, the legislature increased the cap. And the reason we did it was because we knew that if we allocated the resources, there were actual opportunities ready to come. And so my belief is that process worked very well. It provided budget certainty and fiscal restraint, and the legislature, when they deemed necessary, were able to increase the cap. And that's how I actually believe all programs should work.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, yield for an inquiry.
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
It is a pleasure to be working with you again. This is your bill, so my first question, very simply, do you support this amendment?
I do not.
And could you tell me why?
Sure. Well, to give a little bit of background here, when this bill was originally filed 4 years ago, it was actually a $10 million cap, and the structure by which the credit was awarded was much different. As it worked its way through the process, as I mentioned earlier today, over the past 4 years, it's been finely tuned. I believe that through that finely wrought procedure here in the Senate, it's been made to be a better bill. And basically, you have a third of what it was before, and a mechanism that ensures that this is a positive for the taxpayer. So here's my rationale on why I don't particularly understand, and we just disagree on this point of why it should be 3 than 2. I think it's an arbitrary number to say we reduced it, but it's already been reduced, mission accomplished. The natural protection here is the $5 per ticket credit, because the assumption is that somebody's spending a little over $100 when they go to one of these events, as we discussed earlier. That's a hotel room. Forget about the food or the souvenirs or anything else that people buy. So if you know you're going to get a positive return based on that very conservative assumption, there's no reason to cap it at 2 instead of 3. In fact, you should be arguing for a higher cap here, theoretically, because that would mean more economic activity in the state and a greater return to the state and for those businesses that are affected. So in my view, compromises have already been made from the cap. We've made, I think that the senator from Nottoway has raised some valid issues to make the bill better. I just think this is an arbitrary reduction. $3 million is a number that we've been talking about through this process over the last couple years. That isn't a new number. And the theory behind it, in my view, is very solid when you have the per ticket credit awarded. Because what I don't want to have happen is you have that Final Four event in St. Louis. I don't want the rest of the state
you know, locked out from having the Ohio Valley Conference in Cape,
right,
or the MIAA tournament in Maryville. And then, by the way, the Northwest Missouri State Bears are a fantastic Division II football team, Bearcats. I wouldn't want the senator from Nottoway's hometown, his university, locked out of these opportunities. So I think the $3 million makes more sense, so I do oppose his amendment.
Do I detect a trace of the Hickory Stick rivalry in your remarks?
Yeah, you're
Senator,
a Truman guy. We've doubled. And in fact, I don't know what county he's from. Another Truman. There's three now. Where there once was one, there are now three Truman State alums in this chamber. And one Northwest Missouri State alum.
Very, very pleased to add to the number. Mr. Senator, speak on the amendment. Mr. President, speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
What's before us is the tension between the risk of setting the cap too high and the risk of setting the cap too low. And I think the bill sponsor and some civic organizations that I've heard from on this issue are concerned that in this case, the danger of setting the floor too low is greater than the danger of setting it too high. If the amendment sponsor's view is correct, that in fact we're not going to use $3 million, I really don't see what harm comes from setting the cap here. In this case, I agree with the bill sponsor and would respectfully request that my colleagues vote no on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from Butler.
Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, this is actually the first time that you've been up in debate. Now, you better watch it because your shoulders are dangerously close. Look at Mr. President up there. Look at the president. Look at him now. You see? Now, Senator, you can turn as long as your shoulders don't actually break the plane of... Look at me. You can look over. You can look back. Look back here. Senator, I'm trying to help you. Please, Senator, just look back here a little bit. You can turn your head around. You can turn your shoulders a little bit. I'm trying to help you here.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Come on.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
You can keep turning. When you see him pick up the gavel, then you'll know that you're turning about far enough. Really, I'm serious. You got to not be afraid. You can look back here. Look at what I'm doing. I mean, see?
Go ahead and do your cartwheel. That's fine.
Oh. What's your opinion on this amendment, Senator?
I'm doing a good job of listening, and I'll formulate my opinion later on.
Oh, that's fine. Did you see the thing that I put on your desk from the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee that I attended today?
I see something here with your name on it, yes.
Okay, well, today I attended the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee. Senator, you don't have to talk about the amendment. Did you know that? You can talk about any subject you want. We could discuss the weather. We could talk about the way the flag is hanging on the pole up there. I'm trying to just kind of loosen everyone up here a little bit. This business from the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee, which I attended today, and of which I'm a member along with the senator from the 4th, who I missed today, this was handed out, and what it talks about is the governor's recommendations on MoHealthNet expansion. And the thing that I wanted to point out to the body and to you was that they've made the assumption that Medicaid benefits will be paid at commercial reimbursement levels, not at Medicaid levels. That's a really big deal. I mean, normally under Medicaid providers, which are physicians and hospitals and so on, they get paid 63% of Medicaid or Medicare. Commercial reimbursement levels are like 110-120%. And that has real deep meaning. And then I also wanted to just point out to you that there was another piece of literature that I left on everyone's desk. Did you get that? It was about dish payments. It was just a couple of days ago. Yesterday, maybe.
I believe I did.
Did you see it?
I think I did, yes.
Well, the thing is the reason that I was putting that out there was that it lists the dish payments by hospital so that when you hear that the Medicaid expansion is going to affect dish payments by hospitals, you can kind of see how much of the hospital in your area would be affected. Mm-hmm. Senator, thank you for letting me inquire of you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 2? Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President. I've already stated the reasons for my opposition to the amendment. We've worked together to find common ground on the things that we could find common ground on. We just don't see a real reason or a rational basis for this, given the fact that we have the $5 per credit or per ticket credit, which makes this thing accountable, ensures that the taxpayers come out ahead. And we should want more of these things. And I certainly don't want to lock out other communities that may be more aggressive in trying to attract these to their region. So with that, Mr. President, I reiterate my opposition to the amendment.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Senator from Nottoway, I appreciate your amendment. I really appreciate your earlier amendments. It's amazing to think that here we are, like, after the bill had been perfected, and then obviously the motion withdrawn, that we found a way to make me feel even more comfortable that the state will break even on this. And so the reason I use that, that's how I view. I'm not a big tax credit fan. I know that's an opinion that I hold. Other people hold different opinions. And for me, the compromise that I've sought is to be able to be comfortable with the fact that the state will break even on this proposition. That's how we evolved to this per-ticket credit idea. That's how we evolved to this idea that the assumption is that 100 and some odd dollars will be spent and then the state will break even. The earlier amendment that you presented allayed another concern I had, which was that there would be interstate events. My daughter's gymnastics program in Blue Springs could have actually qualified for the credit if not for your very thoughtful amendment. I was comfortable in thinking before that the state would break even. With the addition of your earlier amendment, I couldn't be more comfortable that the state will break even. I'm hopeful, as are most of us here, that it's better than that. But my concern would be is that monies we would lose, and I feel very strongly the state will at least break even, and in all likelihood do better than break even. So I think that the caps as placed on today are fine. I appreciate the thought behind your amendment, but I feel very comfortable in suggesting that the state will break even at $5 a ticket. And so therefore, it will have been a good use of, it'll be a good program that could be put to good use, and that in the worst case, the state's broken even.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
As I said before, part of the discussion and part of what we are going to have to work through this session and what are reasonable caps and where are we as a body as we look at our fiscal picture moving forward, where are we comfortable starting programs at, where are we comfortable resetting programs that are in place today where they need to be set at, and everything we talked about last night, even this credit here, let's all be honest with ourselves, they're not going to make or break the bank. The reality is, though, is that we as an institution have got to begin this process of having meaningful discussion about reasonable and fiscally responsible caps. While the Senator and the 15th and I just candidly disagree on whether it's $3 million or $2 million, the reality is that we are, I believe, as a body, moving in the right direction and understanding that the real crutch of our tax credit crisis lies in a handful of other credits that we are going to have to work through as we move forward. So for me, I believe 2 million is a very reasonable number. I do not believe that we're going to reach that number. So the practical implication of 2 million or 3 million is probably going to be the same. But I also believe that when programs start to grow, the responsible thing from a good public policy perspective is that they have to come back to the legislature for review, or in this case, an increase of their cap. It ensures accountability, and it also leaves the opportunity for programs to be tweaked as we move forward. With all of that said, I am a person who believes, especially in programs of this size, that the will of the body will prevail. So whatever we as an institution decide, I'm comfortable moving forward with. With that, Mr. President, if I can get the appropriate number of senators standing, I would request a standing division.
Senator, you'll have a standing division.
Thank you, Mr. President. And with that, I close.
Senator has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. A standing division has been granted. Please ring the bell. Summon senators to the chamber. All senators will please take their seats. All those in favor of Senate Amendment 2, please stand. Okay. Well, please be seated. All those opposed to Senate Amendment 2, please stand. By your vote of 7 ayes, 25 noes, you have failed to adopt Senate Amendment number 2. Further discussion on the Senate committee substitute. Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from the 15th has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate committee substitute. For Senate Bill 10 and 25, as many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate committee substitute. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for perfection of Senate Bill 10 and 25.
Senator from the 15th has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 and 25 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, we'll now go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Hearing none. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.